shoe or a radio transmitter in their watch or something like that, you might as well get caught with microfilm.
Oh, bad, bad news, yeah.
Yes, very bad news.
Heel transmitters, no good.
Those kind of things.
Yep.
So it was thought, based upon some earlier work, that we could communicate, if an agent could communicate using only his or her mind with the agent's handler outside of the country.
We're basically talking about telepathy, right?
Yes, partially we are. But telepathy, remember, is generally, the connotation is generally from Houston.
The software includes this guy. He answers all your questions.
Would be able, to modulate a receiver somewhere. A receiver would pick up on the agent's body state. I'll say about that in a moment. And then, using some clippers and strings, I was able to put the threshold values that were transmitted.
Oh, God, I just now realized what you're talking about. Now, please bear with me, Ed. Are you saying that you were devising a method? I guess everybody is, we hear the old, we are all individual snowflakes or something or another. We all have individual fingerprints and all that baloney. So there is something individual enough about our brain function that you could actually design a piece of hardware that would receive information from only that source. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly correct.
Wow.
And necessity is the mother of invention, and we thought, based upon experiments that were conducted both at CIA and in Army and at the U.S. Army Laboratory Command, there was some evidence to suggest that we could get away with designing something like this, just like we got away with putting together remote viewing and making it work. In the end, the money went to remote viewing because intelligence collection requirements were far more important than simple agent communications.
So they never followed up on the project?
Only to a certain degree, which I'll get into momentarily. But remember, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and us needing to know more about the SS-18 and the Soviet spy technology.
That was squeaking a lot louder.
That's right. So this died on the vine, but a couple of us in the Army remembered the experiments. At any rate, the idea was for an agent to be able to train that switch that was particular only to him or her,
right?
Using biofeedback techniques, so that they could get consistent readings at a distance.
All right, I'm with you so far.
So that if the agent would be able to communicate instead of using a radio transmitter, and I don't know how familiar you are with agent communications, but it's in the trade craft, it's pretty cut and dried. You get on a transmitter, and you transmit a series of numbers somewhere, and that. The host country agency then knows you're in place or you've completed your mission, it's time for you to be picked up, it's time to service a dead drop, those kinds of things.
Right.
Well, in this case, we were attempting to design machinery, I'll use that term loosely now, to be able to accomplish the same goal using only the agent's mind and the switch.
All right. Question.
Mm-hmm.
I can readily see how you would train for this using biofeedback. In other words, you would eventually train somebody to be able to send specific biofeedback signals that you would read at a distance. But I would imagine it would be fairly simple stuff at first. Big emotional biofeedback blasts of one kind or another that could really be read strongly. Is that correct?
It's a mind. Remember, we're really two separate systems. One is which is always thinking, planning, looking ahead, and the other is our emotional body. which is an experiential vehicle. It reacts to experiences.
Yogis can change their heartbeat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And much more.
Yes, and much more. And so this is the same sort of thing. You're talking about the same sort of thing, aren't you?
If, let's use a yogi as an example, or someone who is highly trained at modulating their mind-body state like a yogi.
Okay.
If we hook them up to any biofeedback device, and then simply say, okay, instead of talking to us, we want you to tell us. And when you're in a certain mind-body state, we see on our histogram here that the color blue looks like this in terms of a graph.
So then you've got an agent on the other side of the world. He conjures up the color blue. It registers on your end, and the color blue means extraction. Get me the hell out of here.
Whatever. But the trick is to unhook. It has to be non-contact. It has to be done in a non-contact modality. In other words, no wires attached.
No, I hear you. I understand exactly what you're talking about. But what I'm driving at was it that simple? The goals were that simple to produce a few biofeedback signals that would indicate certain things like extraction or mission accomplished or whatever message you wanted to send.
Correct. A very small dictionary, similar to the commander on a nuclear submarine. You're not going to attempt to communicate pages and pages of information, at least in the early days. Things have changed now, but because you would not expect your communications to get through in a combat environment, especially in a nuclear environment. So you would only want to communicate perhaps 30 groups of four-digit numbers to allow someone somewhere else to look in the dictionary and see what that means.
Oh, that's incredible. What would be the chain of associated electronics to achieve that?
Well, it took us at SciTech a lot of work to pull together the apparatus to make this work. It was, we owe our success to technical remote viewing, for one thing. We were able to use technical remote viewing to ascertain the final pieces of the puzzle. But we had a lot of help in standing on the shoulders of some giants. For instance, Cleve Baxter, you know this person, or have you had him on the
show? I know the name, yes.
Cleve Baxter. I'm sure you know Professor Robert John and Brenda Dunn at the Princeton University.
I do.
Okay. They were instrumental in this. They're at the Princeton Anomalies Research Experiment. Colonel John Alexander was the one who pressed forward to attempt to do this at U.S. Army's Laboratory Command.
I know John.
And Thelma Moss, who is deceased, she was a big proponent of Carillion photography. We know her daughter here in Los Angeles. I met Thelma before she died.
And you're telling me SciTech basically has achieved this. You have done it. You have the mechanism in place. You've done the test double blind and all the rest of that sort of thing, and you know it works?
We know it works, and but we have to put together that we want to engineer it and sell it as a product.
Really?
Now, I can give you, although it's proprietary, I can give you some of the secrets behind it, and I think this is very interesting.
I like secrets. And hold on, I also like cliffhangers, so stay right there. I do like secrets, and after the break, you'll hear one. What a cool idea, huh? This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell.
Oh, there's some tricks, all right, and some wonderful discoveries to be made. Now, remember, this is not telekinetic. Telekinesis, you're not moving something at a distance.
Right.
You know,
psychokinetic.
It's psychokinetic.
Yes.
But it's also tachyon. And I call it a tachyon device because this communication with the switch is instantaneous. In other words, it's space-time irrelevant. It does not matter how far away you are, sort of like remote viewing. Remote viewing can detect information through space-time,
yes.
This device works through space-time, too. If you had a receiver of 17 light-years away, and you
had... It would be instant. There would not be 17 light-years of transmission time.
That's correct.
Oh, no, I'm with you here, all right.
Okay. Let's talk about the transmitter first. The transmitter is a human being.
Right.
All right. Maybe someday it'll be a group of human beings. We're right now in the basic stages. It's a single individual.
Right.
Okay. The individual holds a particular emotional state. And I'm going to have more to say about this in a moment. When they hold that emotional state, the same way a yogi would or anybody that undergoes biofeedback training.
They're transmitting.
Not. We're always transmitting. What we have is a receiver.
And you have a spike. In other words, you have trained this individual to, in effect, do the equivalent of changing his heartbeat. He does that. It provides a spike out of an otherwise noise.
Not necessarily. The receiver, which has the switch in it, it's really a receiver,
yes.
Is always picking up, as long as it's turned on and operational.
I understand.
The brain-mind-body state of the transmitter. Okay? So... What you have to do first is to hold a specific emotional state, and when you do that is correlated with a certain algorithm at the receiving end, and it does something like turn on a device or whatever. But there's more to this. It's not just the idea of emotional state. Some emotional states can be modulated, mm-hmm. where you can, instead of a binary operation, in other words, an off-on-off switch type of a switch, there is a particular state that can be modulated. When you're in this state, you can actually impress or impose thought on the signal.
How much thought?
We don't know yet. It's a second stage device, and we have to research it. That's a next generation device, Art.
All right. So
we know what the state is.
I see what stage you're at right now.
Okay.
And I see how it would work.
Okay. Now, the device. Here's one of the big secrets. What we find is that thought at the receiving end generates a certain frequency of light immediately. In other words, there's something about thought, whatever is being transmitted, and I use that term loosely, that gives genesis to a certain frequency of light at the switch. It creates light. And we use the receiver to amplify that light, and like a diode. And detect it like diodes. In fact, we use diodes to detect it and then trigger a servo mechanism. But the amazing thing is that thought is creating light.
All right. What I don't get about the electronic aspect of it is how you specifically receive an individual's, any single individual's frequency, for lack of a better word, frequency. Or is that a secret that's the part, no doubt?
That is a proprietary part. I would very much like to tell you right now, but I'm going to have to wait a while to do that. Symmetry is the key. You know what? I think I am going to tell you, because there's another part of the receiver device that is proprietary, that's the real trick that we had to use technically remote viewing to figure out. So I'm going to tell you. Symmetry is key in all of this. I've talked about this before. Radio crystals transmit, or tuning forks, or anything that's symmetric, it operates that way.
Has frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A crystal cut for 30 megahertz. A transmitter and receiver, they become transmitters. Tuning forks vibrate. DNA is also symmetric, and DNA is unique.
Correct.
Oh. I'm going to take a piece of the transmitter's DNA, and I'm going to use that as part of my device, my receiver.
So your receiver is
the crystal in the receiver.
I see.
And it works.
I do see.
And it's unjammable. You can't jam it. You can't receive it. It's one way.
Boy, I'll tell you, Dave, you're something. Now, I do exactly understand what you're talking about. I can't...
Never make little plans.
Everybody's individual... everybody has individual DNA, absolutely. And you would, in some way, be able to receive that specific DNA code, which means it's being transmitted.
So we have to put this, we have to place this piece of DNA, and it can be a scraping from the inside of your mouth, any leukocytes. I won't get into the technicalities, but we place that in the substrate that's proprietary, and that's what makes it work. Once it goes into that substrate, it becomes a clone of the transmitter.
So your receiver really is a combination machine and biological...
It's a biological switch,
and
an amplifier. But what the amplifier is doing is amplifying light. There's no electronic transmission. We do not even know if if this is instantaneous. We, in terms of quantum theory, we have an idea of how it might be working, but that's all. We can engineer it, but we don't have the theory behind it.
Okay.
Just like technical remote viewing.
All right. Well, here's an obvious question.
But I have one more comment to make.
All right.
And it's very interesting.
Yes, go ahead.
The most light is created at the receiving end of this particular frequency.
Yes.
When one is in a state of love.
Now, why doesn't that surprise me?
Which is in other words, the most powerful transmitters are the ones that can achieve this state. And there's no self-deception. It has to be real. And for instance, in research and psychokinesis, couples that are in love have a very strong effect on inanimate materials when they work together. So,
this is good news for the agents in the field.
Well, it is ironic that a military tool, and what can I say? I think it's a real irony where the most powerful individuals will have to be able to pull the
car. You know, I've got something for you.
Mm-hmm.
I understand clearly what the military applications for this are, and I suspect the military is going to understand very clearly what the applications for them are in the CIA and all the spooky agencies. But what is private sector sci-tech going to do with it?
I think that we'll market it the same way we did technical remote viewing. It's just like a laser. You use a laser for heart surgery. You use a laser for cutting materials. Or you can use a laser to shoot down satellites.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, what's the application other than Spookville?
It is... Well, we're not sure yet, Art. We're just not sure.
Okay. Well, so you may end up...
You mean in terms of the civilian community?
CIA's application for it, or NSA.
Oh, there's an infinite number of applications. For instance, you could turn on your by without words, without a physical action. A transmitter could turn on a receiver at any distance away by just. After they train themselves to go into a particular brain-mind state. There's no hookups, there's no wires, there's no phone.
I understand, but again, where is the private sector application? You could set off a bomb from the other side of the world just by thinking about it, right?
Well, you could do that with a radio wave, too, aren't you?
Not reliably.
Sure you can.
And not at that
distance. We used to do it all the time.
Well, I know, but listen, for example, we had a blast... from the sun, your territory, by the way, the other day, that utterly shut down every single shortwave frequency in the spectrum. I mean, it shut it down cold. Nobody could have transmitted a radio frequency to other than through satellite, that would have set off a bomb. But with your application, you could do it.
Well, better yet, and more practically, you could do that, but you could also maintain communications. There isn't a lot of electronics in the receiver, so... environmental vicissitudes in terms of electromagnetics.
Sure.
There's a lot of applications here, but I think primarily the idea that you have this knowledge. Now listen, on technical remote viewing, who are my customers right now? They're not my old boss.
Oh no, I know. And there's a lot of private sector applications, no question about it, for that. For a lot of websites, for everything SciTech does. Lots of private sector applications. That's why it's worked so well. I understand that, but this switch, it's your old boss is going to be interested in that. Well, that's amazing. Jumping from remote viewing is an obvious extension of remote viewing. An obvious extension.
We need it. It's our sister science. And we felt remiss in not investigating our sister science. It's the active side of the psi phenomena. Psi phenomena can be split generally down the middle. A passive side, although that, in terms of quantum theory, that's not exactly true anymore. That's remote viewing, being able to discern things and targets at a distance, and that's passive.
Because if you've really done this, they're going to be knocking on your door, if they haven't already.
Well, it's a kinder and gentler force out there, Art, and it's a different world. These are the 90s. It's been a while since a proprietary civilian discovery has been rolled up by a government or agencies of the government. It's been quite a while, like 30 years.
Oh, I'm not sure I believe that. If there is a major discovery made that has national security implications, and there have been such discoveries, I'm certain in the last 30 years, the guys in the suits walk in. I mean, they walk in for a lot less.
I'm telling you, Art, it hasn't happened
in 30 years, huh?
Since the McCarthy era.
Well, then we must be far behind our enemies. That's what I'd have to say about that. We must be awfully far behind them.
I'm patiently aware of what's out there on the streets, scalar wave technology, on and on and on. In terms of who was responsible to report back to the highest levels of the Department of Defense on what's really out there, you know, I'm in a position to know what's real and what's not.
But let's say the Russians are changing our weather. They're changing our extreme weather. Technology.
That's an act of war.
I agree with you. But if they're doing all of this and we're not, then we're in a lot of trouble. That's why the Russians are leaving.
Well, we've got some fancy things out there, but I have to remember that dialectic materialism, as practiced by the former Soviet Union for many years, and I think I've mentioned this before on your show, that's a different mindset, and a very different paradigm like that produces different science, and different science results in different technologies. That's why when the former Soviet Union said, General Abramson, in charge of this country's Star Wars program, if you field this, we will counter it. We snub our noses at the Russians, thinking that they couldn't. because their space program was a generation behind ours.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in the end, they were able to counter it using something that was so diabolically different and yet conventional. I can't talk about it, but they were able to counter that program in a way that we had never conceived because their thinking was different. For instance, let me give you a second. In the West, we use non-destructive testing to look inside of, let's say, an automobile engine to look at the flaws and the heat spots, those kinds of things.
Yes.
The Russians have a science test, but it's quite the same as non-destructive testing. It uses different ways of ascertaining what is going on in material science inside of something. And it has spawned very different technologies simply because they look at the world differently.
Well, I sure have no argument with that. The Russians do look at the world differently.
But those things are changing. Everything's cross levels now. The Soviets, the Russians, they three generations or two next generations behind ours were able to interest me. Was that the Soviet mathematicians were better than ours, and that they produced algorithms that were elegant. And when those algorithms were programmed into computer chips that were two generations behind ours, they worked because what we did, our PhDs, threw enough sloppy algorithms into computers in the warheads of our intercept missiles, expecting our phantom computers to crunch away numbers. And that crunching time equaled a crunching time with a sloppy algorithm equaled a crunching time that talking
You wouldn't consider the Russians now to be benign, would you, Ed?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. All right, hold it right there. SciTech's Ed Dames is my guest. And I can tell you right now it's going to be quite a night. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Amelia Earhart and what Ed Dames has uncovered with regard to Amelia Earhart's disappearance. Crash, here now, is exclusive to this program. It has not been told anyone else.
I'm Bill Coates. The historical roots of the San Joaquin Valley run deep into our past. From the 49ers who followed their fortunes into the mother lode, to the loggers who harvested the timber from the mighty Sierra Nevada, to the settlers who brought water, railroads, and cities to the valley. Listen in.
Like, in 1944, we were commissioned by the television station to find the wreckage so that the same team that found the Titanic could locate the wreckage. So we have some experience doing this.
What in particular made you choose the Amelia Earhart Project?
I think because it's high visibility, which is good marketing for SciTech,
sure.
And the fact that so many people have tried to find the wreckage and failed, even using high technology methods. And I want to show, individuals who are interested in remote viewing what human potential can do when it's perfected in terms of technical remote viewing.
All right. So
this was a lot of work, Art.
I know.
And
There are television stations that wanted this as an exclusive, but we decided to give it to the Art Bell listeners. Before I do this, though, I'd like for you to give the green light to our ace webmaster, Patrick Duda, who's standing by to hit the switch on all of the map locations. This is the first time we've ever on our internet, on our website.
You mean you're going to put up a map of where the record is?
We're going to put up maps of the entire area and where we are searching right now, right down to within a quarter mile. This is phase one of our project, was to locate the wreckage. Now we're going out to retrieve it.
Ooh.
So if you give Patrick the green light, he'll hit the switch with all the maps, and your internet-capable listeners will have those maps at their fingertips. They can go through your website to hit mine.
Of course. Are you ready out there, folks? www.artbell.com. Scroll down until you see Ed Dame's name under Scheduled Guests, and that's what you're going to be wanting to click on.
Patrick's waiting for your command, Art.
Hey, Patrick, do it.
Okay, and that'll be up in a couple of minutes.
I've got to get up there myself.
Well, for those of you who are not on the internet, let me walk you through this. if you think of a globe, the planet Earth, or you have a map of the world, put your finger or your finger in your mind's eye on the state of Hawaii. Run your finger down to the equator and turn left until you get almost to the equinox, the international dateline. Just to the right of your finger is an island called Howland Island. That was Amelia Earhart's destination on July 2nd, 1937. If you run your finger along the equator another hand's width or so, depending on the scale of your map or globe, you'll come to New Guinea. Go drop down to New Guinea just below the equator, and in the town of Ley, New Guinea, is where she began her flight. Okay?
Okay.
So, there was a lot of technical remote viewing work that we had to do to ascertain this. And we wanted to pinpoint her record, so we in phase one. So what we had to do was systematically attack this problem, and we had all the cross-checks and blind controls that we normally do in any of our work. We were looking for Amelia Earhart's wreckage, the present location. That was one target. We were looking at the wreckage itself. We had to describe the wreckage to see what we had. For instance, we don't automatically assume that wreckage would be any wreckage left. But in this case, we found two large pieces, what appear to be a wing and an engine, and they are both underwater. Okay?
I'm on your site now. I'm clicking on the square on the globe to zoom in on the exact location. Ha, ha, ha. My six-second delay helped me get there just about 6 seconds ahead of everybody else. So if it'll ever load here, I'll get it. Your page is getting suddenly very busy.
You're in Micronesia, and you are in the country of Kiribati. That's spelled K-I-R-B-A-T-I, but pronounced Kiribati. You're in the Gilbert Islands.
The Gilbert Islands. All right, I'm trying.
Tongaru is the name of that part of the Kiribati, and the former name was the Gilberts. The Kiribati has three island groups. It's a country. At no point in the country is the elevation more than about 2 meters above ground, so above the ocean level. So if the seas ever rise, that entire country will be gone. That's a real fear, by the way, there.
Can you help me with a reference here?
Yes, I can.
In other words, these islands, you know, they're in the middle of nowhere, virtually.
That's where they're right at the right where the international dateline crosses the equator.
I see that. Reference me from a point I would know, an island or Hawaii or 8 miles from Hawaii and direction.
You're about 2,800 miles to the southwest of Hawaii.
That is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere.
And this is where she came down.
Where I'm going to talk about exactly where she came down in a moment. It is just south of Tarawa, where the United States Marine Corps fought their fiercest battle in World War II. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, we had to look, again, we had to describe the wreckage, locate it. We had to look for Amelia Earhart's remains, okay? We wanted to find the present location of the remains.
Right.
We had to remote view Amelia Earhart 2 hours after the crash event because we wanted to see if she got out of the aircraft. She did not.
She did not. And now you're saying she landed not on one of these islands, but in the water?
I'll get into that in a moment.
All right.
But I'm just telling you, I want to cover all the work that we had to do to bring this together.
Okay.
We had to also look for Fred Noonan, her navigator's remains. We wanted to see if he made it out alive and his remains were somewhere else, the present location of his remains. We had to look at the crash site overview. Because we're in a very homogeneous island, area of the world. You've got about a zillion atolls and islands that look the same. Now think about what a remote viewing task that is. Even though you can describe the wreckage site, you have to match it up with the real physical world. That's a trick.
How do you do that?
We use very accurate sketches, detailed sketches, from an overhead perspective. We use remote viewing to sketch an atoll or an island, and then we go to the maps and find...
You've got to match it.
Yes, and then we match it. I've got you. We had to also... And then we go back to our remote viewing, and we look at the crash site, the key terrain features, so that we can pick out one atoll or island from another. We have to look. Then we remote view the place, and we look at the key map features, present day maps. We match the remote viewing data up with the map features. Now we have two pieces of wreckage, a wing and an engine. We have to find out how far away they are from the shore. So we're going to remote view the nearest shore features from each one of those pieces.
Right.
We want to determine the distance from the shore, and because we're in water, we want to determine the depth in water.
Right.
So, because phase two, we have to decide whether to take a towed magnetometer along with us that detects big pieces of metal at depth, or whether or not we can spot the wreckage pieces visually as
yeah,
a moment
makes,
time.
Yeah, makes sense. Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
So, specifically, we're in Micronesia. We're in the country of Kiribati. We're in the Gilbert Islands. Okay?
Kiribati.
We're just south of Tarawa. And we're in a small island called Kuria, K-U-R-I-A. All this is on our website.
Right.
On the west side of the island, Kuria, you'll see our search area. We've got two crosses where the major pieces of wreckage are, a wing and an engine.
Okay.
Not far offshore. What happened was... I'm not going to speculate right now upon why she did not continue to Howland Island, but we think they were low on fuel, most probably low on fuel. She came in for a water landing just off the beach. So from the south end, we're on the west side of the small island. It was a long stretch of white beach with a lot of reefs off the coast. She came in for a water landing, not too far offshore, right?
Right.
So that they would be able to make it to shore with their gear and a radio, or they'd be able to have the radio intact in the aircraft before it went down. But what happened was, it appears that the right wing struck the water, and the plane cartwheeled over the reefs, breaking up in the process. Both Fred Noonan, the navigator, and Amelia Earhart died of their injuries in that crash. They did not make it to shore, and they went down with the wreckage.
How deep is the water there?
Not deep. And ocean currents and hurricane action over the years, even tsunamis, could theoretically have pushed the wreckage over the reef into the deep. We could still have gotten it, by the way. We could still go retrieve it, just be more expensive. But in this case, only the lighter pieces of the aircraft having broken up over the years, and I don't know where the lighter pieces are right now, but we do know that the heavy engine, there were two engines on her Lockheed Electra 10E that was designed for her. There's a picture on our website, courtesy of Lockheed, with her sitting on the exact aircraft that crashed. That's there, too. Those engines weigh about 1,100 pounds each. There's two of them. And we've got one. We've got the pinpoint location of one and a wing. The rest of the aircraft is probably in scattered about the reefs, and we're not going after those pieces. We're only going after the two major pieces.
If I were to guess, I'd say it looks a little over halfway from Hawaii toward Papua New Guinea.
That's correct. It's about halfway, you know, just about halfway to New Guinea, where she took off. And
all right, now, you have now pinpointed this, and you've told us. What are your intentions? Are you going to go there?
Yes.
And prove this?
That's correct. We have to have ground truth now. So phase two of the operation is already in the process of taking off. We've got the individuals identified who will go, and equipment and those points of contact on the ground, those kinds of things. That's not an easy place to get to, by the way. I won't go into all the logistics right now.
Yeah. Well, when will this expedition take place? Can you tell us?
3 months from now.
3 months.
Yeah. We don't want it to be an expedition. Some of the expeditions that failed in the past. They operate off of boats. They're very comfortable. They go back and they dine and sleep in comfortable quarters. We don't have that kind of money, so it's not an expedition. It's a trip, and we're going to operate from shore, which is a little tricky, but we can do it. And a lot of diving is required. We've got good divers. We've got wreck divers. I'm a free diver. So I've got a lot of diving experience. And we've got good salvage people.
There's sharks out there, Ed.
There are reef sharks, yes. I've got a good shark, Billy. I know how to take care of sharks, so you know we'll watch our backs.
Wow. What a project. Well, that's called walking the walk, for sure.
It's worth doing. It's a good one. It's a good one. And we teach people how to do what we do. That's and these are the kinds of showpiece. You have to walk the talk, and these are the kind of showpiece projects that are required to do that. It also does an end run around the scientific community who says this is impossible.
Well, that's absolutely true. Obviously, if you come back with wreckage, hold on, Ed. I have some good news and bad news from my friends at Golden Eagle. The good news is that Ramona and I have received our year's supply of all-natural, storable food. Now, as most of you know, and many agree, we are in a very rapidly changing time, one that I wrote about in The Quickening, my book. It makes good sense to protect ourselves any way we can. Our personal food supply gives great peace of mind. Now, the bad news. The people at Golden Eagle tell me they may be out of the food business in a year or so. Why? Because the year 2000 computer problems that all the experts are talking about may create a long-term disaster that could adversely affect banking, communications, and transportation. Transportation of storable food from Golden Eagle to you, and it's also very likely to affect transportation of food to your neighborhood grocery store. If you'd like to verify the extent of future problems, just call your bank and ask if they're year 2000 compliant. The variety of answers you're going to get without the yes you're looking for should be considered fair warning. Call Golden Eagle now at 1-800-447-7911. Tell them you want a year's supply of food like Art and Ramona have. That's 1-800-447-7911. Peace of mind is free. If you own a PC and run Windows 95, 98, or NT, boy, have I got big news for you. A brand new Windows upgrade has just shipped, which fixes a lot of the problems I've had, and I bet you've had, with Windows. It's given me some amazing new features that I've never dreamed were even possible. It's called Gizmos 98, and it's from one of my favorite companies, Play Incorporated, makers of the Snappy Video Snapshot. Listen to what Gizmos can do. Did you know that files you delete are not really gone? Anyone can recover them from the recycle bin? Well, not anymore. Gizmos, Vault, and Shredder give you the file security Windows should have had in the first place. You've got thousands of pictures from scanners, digital cameras, and Snappy. Now, Gizmos lets you view and organize them in amazing new ways. A complete update of the Windows accessories you've come to count on. New atomic clocks, photo calendars, advanced calculators, even a web CD player. Oh, and my favorite, Performer 98, a wonderful PC movie-making tool that lets you make TV-style shows with your pictures and music, which you can then send by email or the web. You know, it's really simple, folks. For less than $50, Gizmos 98 makes Windows better. Get more information and download a Performer show now at www.play.com or buy it today at computer stores everywhere. The best advertising is word of mouth. So, please allow me to introduce the words of Gilbert of Oak Harbor, Washington. Quote, I was taking Cardura medication for my prostate problem, which helped for a couple of months, but then the symptoms became worse and doctors were getting me ready for surgery. I heard then about Super Prostate Formula on Art Show and I decided to give it a try. After 3 weeks, all my symptoms were gone. That was a year ago. And they're still gone, unquote. Millions of men are suffering from enlarged prostate symptoms, such as frequent trips to the bathroom and diminished sex drive. Dr. Dublinsky's Super Prostate Formula contains natural ingredients clinically proven to reduce the size of the prostate and relieve those symptoms. This is your lucky day, because right now you can buy two bottles of Super Prostate Formula and get a third free. That's a three-month supply for the price of only two. Call Physician's Choice now at 1-800-472-5151. It's guaranteed to work or your money back. And by the way, you can't get it in store. So call 1-800-472-5151. That's 1-800-472-5151. Buy two and get one free. If Ed comes back with wreckage from Amelia Earhart's airplane, I think a lot of argument will stop, and so I see why he's doing it. It's, it's all on his website. I mean the precise location. It's very well laid out. It was just released on his website. If you want to get there through mine, www.artbell.com. Scroll down to the scheduled guests. Click on Ed Dame's name. And over you go. Now, obviously, it might be a little bit busy right now.
A cassette tape of this Art Bell encore presentation is available by calling 1-800-917-4278. Please specify the date you heard this broadcast. That's 1-800-917-4278.
Service of Nevada County broadcasters in our 20th year of broadcast excellence. KNCO News Talk 83.
Get the lowest prices on your prescriptions on the spot at tens of thousands of locations nationwide. Members have already saved over $20 million simply by showing their membership card. For just $7.95 a month, you can use your card for everyone in your household. There are no claim forms. Plus, your entire family can also save up to 50% on prescription eyewear. Call 1-800-544-6400 and have your credit card ready. That's 1-800-544-6400. You get full family coverage, unlimited savings, and a money-back guarantee, all for just $7.95 a month. Call 1-800-544-6400 and get the lowest price on your prescription. That's 1-800-544-6400. This offer is brought to you by People's Benefit Services. It's available in most states. Your actual savings may vary.
Mothers who smoke a pack of cigarettes today put their infants at risk for recurring ear infections. According to a new study from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, the risk is even greater for low birth weight babies. Dr. Fernando Martinez of the University of Arizona Medical College says scientists believe they know why there is a link between passive smoking and middle ear infection.
The smoke smoke irritates the child, and the child produces more mucus. This mucus goes to the throat, and in the throat there is a little tube that connects the throat to the middle ear and gets obstructed.
Left untreated, middle ear infection can lead to irreversible hearing loss.
Children who have chronic middle ear infection are more prone to develop a hearing loss during the first years of life.
For parents who smoke, proper development of their baby's hearing and speech is yet another reason to quit. The National Heartland and Blood Institute, I'm Alexandra Mazzocca. The best of Art Bell.
All right, if you want to know exactly where Amelia Earhart went down, heads up and maps up right now, get to my site. And you know, it's funny, I just talked to Keith and I was complaining a little earlier that websites ought to have numbers. They shouldn't have all these www's, tildes, forwards, reverses. He said, well, they do have numbers. I said, huh? He said, yeah. You want the number for your site? So, here's the deal. No www, nothing. Just go onto your browser and enter the following numbers and see if it takes you to my site. Are you ready? 206.132.153.3232, that is. Give that to you one more time. That's 206.132.153.32. And that should take you directly to my website. Now, I said, well, how about if I want to go to a specific page on my website? And he said, well, then you've got to have a forward slash or a tilde or something. In other words, why not add another number or two to get to a specific page, since you've already got that many numbers? Anyway, that's pretty cool. I had no idea you could do that. You can do that if you enter those numbers as I instructed. Keith tells me you will indeed go to my website. With all the depreciation, why would anyone buy a new car? Better mileage, more power, all around better performance. Well, what if I told you there's a product out there that'll give your present vehicle the mileage and the power gains you want, plus better performance and extended engine life and all this without spending tens of thousands of dollars on a new vehicle? That product is Ultra Team Ignition System from Jacobs Electronics. You see, a few months ago, I, a mechanical klutz, installed one on my old Geo Metro in less than an hour. The result was an additional 8 miles per gallon, more power, and better performance. Call Jacobs at 1-800-627-8800. Tell them make, model, and year. They'll tell you exactly what Ultra Team can do for your vehicle. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, less a 10% processing fee. Oh, and for a limited time, purchase any complete ignition system. Mention my name, Art Bell, and you get a free 160-page book on optimizing vehicle performance. So call now, 1-800-627-8800. That's 1-800-627-8800. Or on the web, it's www.jacobselectronics.com. I have a special message from men about male potency and performance. This may seem like an embarrassing subject, but it's really a matter of press your back on the air again.
Okay.
I bet your site is crawling.
It's slowed down a little bit. We've got one of those power pack servers on.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll see. We'll see how you do. All right. So, in 3 months, we will know the answer.
Either that or I'll be shark bait.
Shark bait?
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're not shark bait. There really are a lot of sharks out there.
I know. I'm painfully aware of that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for announcing all of that on this program. There's going to be a lot of people going up there.
Yeah, there will be.
We've got an awful lot of territory we're going to have to cover, or they're going to string me up when I get back from Africa. The last time you were on the program, we had been having a big go-round about the third secret of Fatima. Of course, Father Malachi Martin knows what it is. He has sort of hinted around a little bit about the third secret. We've had people send us versions of it that we've posted on the website. And out of the blue, the light bulb went on, the Ed Dames light bulb, and you said, what a great project that would be. How about if we take it on and remote view the third secret of Fatima? So terrible, says Malachi Martin, that if you imagine the worst it could be, it's worse than that. That's what Father Malachi Martin has said. And so you took this project on.
Actually, there was a caller, Art. There was a caller who subsequently sent me a letter identifying himself. And the caller called in and asked if we had looked at this. And that is when I responded with...
What a great idea.
Yes.
Yep. Well, this one's really killing me.
This is a heavy duty thing, and it was very difficult. It took us a lot to pull together, this project has changed my perspective. It has changed my plans for my company for the future.
You're kidding.
No, it's changed a lot of things. And it has generated a project that I'm going to talk about that I will be dedicating to Father Malachi Martin in honor of a life of service against battling forces of darkness. In fact, it has generated a project that's the most important thing that SciTech could ever do, or anybody trained in technical remote viewing could ever do.
Okay.
And that's heavy. Art, can I get an admin thing out of the way here, and that is about the training tapes before we get into this?
Of course. If you would like to learn how to remote view, SciTech has videotapes that take you step by step right through it. And you can get those in the following way. Ed, describe them any way you want.
Okay, these were actually edited and directed by an Oscar nominee, William Gazecki, and that, along with the Impossible Challenge, which is the story of SciTech, recently completed, are available at our website or on our 24-hour order line, which is 1-888-878-0333. There are live operators available too, but you can pick up that other number Eastern Time on that same number I just gave you, 1-888-878-0333.
24 hours a day.
24 hours a day, anywhere. Or you could write us at P.O. Box 3762, Beverly Hills, California, 90212.
I would be really hesitant, if I could remote view, to take on a project that has been said to be such a terrible thing by Father Malachi Martin. I mean, he doesn't take this lightly at all.
I did not know that he said that, Art.
He said that. He said that, I can't give you the details. He has sworn to secrecy. But he did say, if you can imagine the worst you can imagine in your mind, the worst you can conjure in your mind, it's worse than that.
I'm not sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, I understand.
And, it was an honor to have spoken, to have gone toe-to-toe with Malachi Martin on your show.
That was a remarkable program, wasn't it?
Yes, it was quite an honor.
I really expected, by the way, for everything to go up like a Roman candle, and it didn't happen. You all communicated. It was amazing.
I'm sure that he and we will be communicating again after this project.
It's possible.
Let's see. Let me start in on this. Essentially, the revelation at Fatima beginning in 1917 was three parts, two parts of which the Catholic Church made public eventually.
Mm-hmm.
The third part, also called the third secret of Fatima, they did not. Even though the apparition, which was judged to be a miracle by the Catholic Church, and a bona fide miracle, even though the apparition that generated the original information requested through one of the girls, who I can't remember the names, requested that this third part be made public no later than 1960. And it was not by the Catholic Church.
According to Father Martin, the popes who have been in place have read it and individually have decided not to release it, going against the advice from the apparition itself, for whatever reason. I presume you know why.
Well, I do now. At first, I thought it was rather arrogant, and that, you know, why would that information be withheld? I'm sure it generated a great deal of anger and and on the part of many of the faithful. Why should they keep information from the public?
Yes, why?
Which was one of the reasons I accepted the task, why I chose this task. Why would they hold back God's word?
But
if the church thought it knew best.
Didn't you approach this with some trepidation, though? You know, one of those things of, do I really want to know this?
No, I didn't. I approached it with the same verve and enthusiasm as I did with most projects. However, I've changed my tune now that we completed it. In fact, it's changed my life permanently. The third part of the revelation, lowercase r, the Fatima revelation, is an announcement. It's an announcement that heralds events described in the revelation with a capital R. That's why the Catholic Church deemed it. That's why the Catholic Church did not feel that it was necessary to comment on it, because it would only have been saying what had already been said by a higher authority. That is, it would only have been a commentary on the Word of God. And I'm going to get real specific here, okay?
But it, you're saying the third secret is revelations.
I'm saying that the third secret is indeed what is the end time prophecies themselves, the beginning of the end time prophecies, specifically the heralding of events connected with the opening of the sixth seal. And those are imminent.
Imminent.
Mm-hmm. Like next month. That's my analytical call.
Like,
in other words, the scroll, you know, in Daniel chapter 10:11, Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, shows Daniel the prophecies that concern the last generation. These are the end time prophecies,
yes,
contained in a sealed scroll,
yes,
of revelations.
Yes.
That scroll has been unsealed. And that third part of Fatima essentially says that the scroll has been unsealed, and the next up is the sixth seal. Ironically, this show, in October 1998, is probably a month before the actual events that are connected with that sixth seal. Very, very serious earthquakes and volcanism, war, and a celestial display of meteors falling from the sky. I'm not going to sit here and educate the people who know more than I do about revelation. I'm going to tell you what I, as a professional remote viewer, downloaded from this. And essentially, it is specifically, I was a simple Christian until now. I did not really take the Bible seriously, but I do now. In fact, I take it very seriously. It appears to be dead on. Specifically,
Father Martin has always said there will be a unquestionable sign from the sky. That's something the Father has said.
I am telling you that specific revelation, that part of the revelation, was specifically the opening of the sixth seal. And that is why the church, I'm sure, decided not to say anything. Because if you read Revelations and what that means, why say it again? It doesn't need to be talked about anymore. If it happens, it happens. And I don't know what else to say about that.
We're
talking about war. We're talking about tremendous earthquakes and volcanism. And we're talking about the events being accompanied by a lot of meteors falling from the sky.
Well, we all know the Leonid show is coming up next month in November.
That is why I think that this is imminent, that the sixth seal events are imminent.
It is that particular timing that causes you to say next month?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you allow for the possibility that you could be off by a year? In other words, astronomers right now are equally divided about whether we are going to have this large event with regard to the Leonid showers in November in 98 or 99.
I'm aware of that. I allow for that possibility, yes. But my gut feeling is that it begins now. Now, what has come out of this for me is some very serious life changes, and something that I've decided to do, that a project that is the most important project that any remote viewer, anyone who learns technical remote viewing or SciTech, can do in my mind, and this is the project that I dedicate to Father Malachi Martin, and that is this. If you look forward in time, the way that along the timetable, the Revelation's timetable in the Bible, the most important thing that technical remote viewing can do for generations to come is to identify what the mark of the beast is and who the beast is.
Oh, yes.
Because if we lose our lives in the travails ahead, that's one thing. But if we accept that particular mark,
then we lose our souls.
We lose our souls. And that is why it's imperative for us right now to begin to identify exactly, in terms that we can understand today, at the end of the 20th century, what that mark is and who the beast is. Specifically.
Do you know?
No, I do not. That's the project that we will begin immediately. That is the new project, and that is the one I'm dedicating to Malachi Martin.
Is the third secret itself specific beyond, so specific that it would have created a worldwide panic? In other words, it is Revelations, but as you read Revelations in the Bible, it's specific and at the same time rather non-specific. Is the third secret very specific? What reason would there be other than duplication not to release it? I mean,
I think for the reason you just mentioned or glossed over, worldwide panic. I think that was a wrong decision. I mean, this is Ed Dame speaking. I think that may have been a mistake on the part of the Catholic Church.
To hold it back.
To hold it back, yes. And I'll tell you why. Because knowing this now, albeit through technical remote viewing, has changed me. It's redirected and reordered my priorities in life. And in a way that I think is very important. I think that knowledge would have done the same thing to many believers, at least Christians, had it been promulgated when the apparition said that not later than 1960, when the apparition said that it should be promulgated.
Well, that's the exact argument that I made to Father Malachi Martin, actually.
But you did not know.
And Father Martin, by the way, agrees with you that it should have been released and that it should be released, and yet he is bound, sacred oaths, he is bound not to do, not to tell what it is.
Then I hope he's listening. So, you know, my advice is if you're a listening audience, if you don't have a God to pray one, pray to, you better go out and get one. Make sure it's the right one. Get your internal house in order. And you need some role models to look at some for minds and lives and the actions of people that are good role models, you know, Jesus Christ, Mother Teresa, or even Jimmy Carter will do.
The sixth seal is open.
It is not. I don't think it's open right now. I think it is imminent, Art, and I mean in a month. That's my call analytically.
Okay, then you can tell I have no great background in organized religion, but with the opening of the sixth seal, that portion of Revelations begins to unfold immediately. Is that correct?
Yes. And that is the opening of the sixth seal that is connected with the third part of the Fatima Revelation, also called the third secret of Fatima. That's what's connected with that. That's what that secret was. That is what the Catholic Church held back.
Could SciTec locate the sixth seal?
It is not a thing, Art. It's not a thing. It's an idea. The seal itself is a set of circumstances and consequences. It's not a thing.
All right.
Like the Ark of the Covenant or the Holy Grail.
I've got you. Yes, it's esoteric.
It's supernatural. What we call supernatural. It's natural if your horizons are wider, but it's supernatural in terms of us menial human beings. So.
For what period of time, can you tell us, will the world suffer the consequences of the sixth seal opening?
I don't know, but I think that's in Revelations. In fact, all the rest of what we're, of the travails of, that we're about to go undergo are in the Revelations. That's why I have a new respect for the Bible. In fact, a respect I never had before, because it appears to be exact, Art. It appears to be dead on, the biblical prophecy.
Well, there's a lot of people out there, me included, who know, a knowing, that something's coming. As likely this as anything else. Well, I warned you, and I will now warn you again. Those things you're going to hear tonight may well be disturbing. If you are disturbed by them, turn your radio off. Get the kids out of the room. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast.
Penny's fulfilling her dream, leading an active life. But for a while, it didn't seem this would be possible at all. Before she went back to school and got her degree, Penny was seriously injured in an accident. Since she had paid Social Security taxes while she worked, she was eligible for Social Security disability benefits. They helped her go back to school and return to work. Today, Penny is doing things she always wanted to do, and there's really no limit for her. That's because of Social Security, which helps 4 million other people with disabilities pursue their dreams, too. To learn more about disability insurance, call 1-800-772-1213 and ask for the booklet, Basic Facts About Social Security. Find out how Social Security protects you and those you care about. That's 1-800-772-1213. For the times that count, count on Social Security.
This highway doesn't look familiar. Where are we?
Look, there's our exit.
Where was the sign?
On the 40th anniversary of our interstate system, our nation's roads are falling apart, and sometimes signs are missing when we need them.
From now on, let's use the map.
When driving on unfamiliar roads, stay alert, because the things you don't expect are the things you need to watch out for. For more information, call the Interstate Highway Commemorative Committee at 888-499-8777.
The weekday evening broadcast lineup for KNCO News Talk 83 starts off with the Roy Ruff Show from 6 to 7 Monday through Thursday. Dennis Pierce's long-running fishing show airs live Friday night from 6 to 7 and repeats on tape from 6 to 7 in the morning Saturdays. You'll hear Bruce Williams from 7 to 10 weekday evenings. Overnight with Art Bell's Coast to Coast begins at 10 p.m. So enjoy your weekday evenings and overnights with Roy Ruff, Dennis Pierce, Bruce Williams, and Art Bell on KNCO News Talk 83. KNCO Grass Valley, a service of Nevada County broadcasters in our 20th year of broadcast excellence. KNCO News Talk 83.
I'm Dorothy McIntyre. Red Cross volunteers are working around the clock in Nicaragua.
Their first priority is to get the injured, get people evacuated, make sure that everyone else is safe.
Ann Stengel is with the Red Cross in Fairfax, Virginia. The massive rock and mud slides are blamed on days of torrential rain from the remnants of Hurricane Mitch. At least 1,300 people are known dead. Nicaraguan officials say 1,500 other people may be buried under the rubble in two villages. In Kansas and Oklahoma, hundreds of residents have been evacuated because of severe floodwaters. Several rivers have overflowed. More rain is expected in the morning. Baghdad has allowed U.N. weapons inspection teams to visit Iraqi sites, despite a statement that it was halting cooperation with the inspectors. A U.N. official says teams from the International Atomic Energy Agency went out to sites for the second day in a row. On the last weekend before Election Day, candidates from both parties were out stumping for votes. ABC's Jim Ryan says some consider Tuesday's voting a referendum on President Clinton.
In races across the nation, Republicans are trying to link their Democratic opponents with President Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Is it working?
It was a personal life. Yeah, he probably kind of did tell a fib.
But it's a fib that Barry Mashinsky of Santa Clarita, California, is willing to overlook. Others, though, are not so quick to forgive.
I think he kind of defiles the office of the president.
And that Kentucky man says he'll carry that sentiment into the voting booth on Tuesday when he considers supporting President Clinton's fellow Democrats. Not likely, he says. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Retiring Ohio Senator John Glenn is urging Americans to get out the vote Tuesday. During a news conference Sunday from the Space Shuttle Discovery, Glenn also said he feels so good being back in space that he's thinking about doing it again. You're listening to ABC News.
Replace your old roof now and pay as low as $96 a month. Call Sears Roofing and take advantage of this special offer. No money down and payments as low as $96 a month on your Sears Charge Home Improvement Plan account. Call 1-800-624-1300 for your free estimate. With Sears Roofing, you'll get guaranteed satisfaction, a great-looking roof, no money down, and payments as low as $96 a month. Ask your sales rep for details. Don't miss out on this great offer. Call Sears Roofing at 1-800-624-1300. 1-800-624-1300. Price based on a $5,280 installed roof. Monthly payments may vary depending on your state and current account balance. Sold, furnished, and installed by Diamond Exteriors, the Sears authorized contractor. License numbers on request. So if you need a new roof, call Sears Roofing now and pay as low as $96 a month. Not available in all areas. Call now. 1-800-624-1300. That's 1-800-624-1300.
In Boston, a baby girl born to a comatose nursing home woman who had apparently been raped is brain dead. The baby was born October 23rd, about 14 weeks premature, weighing less than 2 pounds. The Boston Herald reports a decision will be made on whether to terminate the baby's life support. That decision rests with the state social service officials. Some folks in a certain California town have found a way to cut down on traffic congestion. Mary Liz Cortese of ABC affiliate KFBK reports from Sacramento.
Bicycle activists in the beach town of Santa Cruz have devised a rather creative way to get people to leave their cars at home. They've placed public bikes downtown for use by anyone who wants to borrow one. About 35 yellow bikes were just left near stores, stop signs, and parks this weekend. No, it's not an episode of Candid Camera. All of the bikes have stickers identifying them as public bikes and telling riders to leave them unlocked. The public bikes were donated or taken from the police auction yard. Mary Liz Cortese for ABC News, Sacramento.
11 people were slightly injured Sunday when a Dallas-bound AirTran flight with 105 people on board skidded off a runway after returning to Atlanta because the pilot had detected a problem with the hydraulic system. AirTran Flight 867 returned to Atlanta about 5 minutes after takeoff. AirTran is formerly known as ValueJet. This is ABC News.
My mom says we must be getting into trouble when we hang out.
My neighbors look at me funny. I can make breakers together.
Well, not everyone hangs out in the car for a car.
I can't go back. That doesn't mean I'm not right. Teenagers can make a difference in changing perceptions. Get involved in crime prevention and help make your community safer for everyone. Tutor, mentor, volunteer. Call 1-800-722-CHANGE to find out how you can get involved.
Let's prove them wrong by doing something right.
Public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
I'm Dorothy McIntyre, ABC News.
KNCO Grass Valley, a service of Nevada County broadcasters in our 20th year of broadcast excellence. KNCO News Talk 83.
Here's a surprising statistic. Most of us care more about our new lawn than we do about our new house. It's sad but true. We'll install a sprinkler system in our lawn so the lawn won't burn. But we don't even think of installing a sprinkler system in our new house, so the house won't burn down. And 450,000 homes go up in flames every year, needlessly. Because about 98% of all house fires could be put out in 3 to 5 minutes with a sprinkler system. And it goes without saying, you're not only saving your house, you're saving your family. And the cost of a complete sprinkler system for a new house is about the same as adding walnut trim baseboards or matching marble vanity sinks, which won't look very pretty if your house burns down. So don't just protect your lawn with a sprinkler system. Protect your most valuable possession, your family. Look up for safety.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Like a remote viewing session.
Anyway, on the eve of our trip to South Africa, in the morning our house sitters get here and we make our way toward the airplane, somebody sends me the following. Dateline Johannesburg. From Reuters, a South African man killed an enraged leopard using only an old screwdriver. After the animal attacked villagers near the country's massive Kruger National Park. Oh, great. A police spokesman said, "I've never heard of an incident like it in my life." The man, 49 years of age, was driving an open pickup truck loaded with 8 passengers when the leopard sprang from the bush. The man, Tinos McConthy, I can't pronounce that correctly, said, quote, "I almost had a heart attack. The bloody animal leapt onto my windshield as I came to a halt next to the road. It then jumped onto the back of the pickup truck right in the middle of my passengers." He said the leopard immediately seized one of the passengers, Lawrence, and I can't pronounce his last name, and he had to move fast. "I knew," he said, "I had to act quickly or Lawrence was dead. I couldn't find any weapon except the screwdriver, so I used it to stab the leopard from behind. I had to stab it repeatedly in the neck and ribs before it finally collapsed and died." Whoever sent this, too bad there's not a fax editor here so I can thank you. I'll tell you. We'll be right back with Ed Dames. I have some good news and bad news from my friends at Golden Eagle. All right. A reading from the Associated Press. September 30th. An immense wave of radiation from a bizarre star smashed into the upper atmosphere of Earth last month with enough energy to power civilization for a billion years, researchers report. Astronomers said at a news conference Tuesday, the eruption was the most powerful burst of X-rays and gamma rays from beyond the sun ever recorded and caused at least two satellites to shut down briefly. On the Earth's surface, however, there is almost no effect from the invisible radiation. They said energy equal only to a typical single dental X-ray could have penetrated the atmosphere. We have been monitoring things like this, said Kevin Hurley, a research physicist at the University of California, Berkeley, for 30 years. And we've never seen anything like it. The burst of gamma and X-ray radiation struck the Earth over the Pacific Ocean at night on August 27th and was so powerful that it temporarily ionized the upper atmosphere just as the sun would in the daytime. Seven scientific satellites, five orbiting the Earth, one approaching an asteroid far beyond, and one near the orbit of Jupiter, all of them detected the massive eruption, and it goes on from there. Now, how does this connect to Ed Dames? You may recall Ed Dames said there's going to be trouble from our sun. That there will be, in effect, a shot over the bow and then a kill shot. Was this the shot over the bow? Let me read to you. Scitech, of course, had called it the discontinuity, something they couldn't quite read, an event. And then Ed came on a special night and told us about the sun and what was going to happen. And if you pull the transcript from that program, it will read, Bell, me, talking to Ed, when did you nail it down? Ed, I think about 11 months ago, we finally pulled it all together by looking at the source of this event. By concentrating on only the source rather than the effects. At first, we thought we were dealing with a neutron star burst somewhere in another part of the galaxy. Then, with more work, we realized it was our own star, the sun. Ed, did we just have the precursor event?
I believe that was it, Art. It was stellar in nature. It was not our sun. We have a lot of information about the kill shot. We had less on the precursor.
You said that right along.
I thought that the precursor, the effects would be stronger. And in fact, I thought the precursor was our own sun. But I believe it was this.
Oh, well, the effects were strong enough, as I just read.
We're pretty much convinced this was a precursor. And we predict that as I've said in the past on your shows, we think all bets are off in 99. But we think that around Easter, around April of 99, is the event from our own sun, somewhere around in there. Those are very rough. That's a very rough window, but nevertheless, the event itself is on the way. And
let me tell you something, Ed.
It goes hand in hand with this. Now that I think about it, with the sixth seal, because the sun and the moon turning red, or something like that.
Let me tell you a very interesting brief story. This coming Dreamland Sunday, Linda Moulton Howe interviews, I think, an astronomer, a scientist, about this burst of radiation. And Linda was saying, my God, at 22 billion light years out, for this kind of energy to reach the Earth in this kind of a wave, a blast, could that not have been what killed the dinosaurs or an event like it? And the scientist said, well, yes, it could have been. Then Linda said, well, are there other stars like this that could be close? To which he replied, yes. And she asked, well, what would occur if it was closer? And the scientist's answer was an extinction-level event or a semi-extinction-level event, a minor extinction-level event. And I said, a what? A minor extinction-level event? And that interview can be heard Sunday on Dreamland, but there you are. I mean, there is something new, pun intended, under the sun, unfortunately. And so you're pretty sure this was what you saw.
Yes, this appears to be it. But the kill shot and subsequent events lead us to believe, based upon our technical remote viewing data, that the Earth is going back to primordial conditions. Now, I don't know how long that will take, but that is what we see in the end. It looks just like the textbook example of Earth in the beginning, when life was brewing in the soup with the lightning flashing and the Earth covered by water.
So really what we're saying here is that the scientists, the remote viewers, and the Bible scholars are all on the same page, and the page is about to turn.
We're tracking a lot. It's starting to come together. There are many roads that lead to Rome, and Rome appears to be a fairly, I don't want to say grim, because I don't know if this is just a natural order of events in the universe or not. I assume that it is. I don't know what to say about that, Art.
But when you heard this story, you must have sat straight up and you must have said, oh my God, this was it.
Well, you know, remember the old cartoons that we grew up with the bearded, robed guy walking around the streets in New York City with a sign,
sure,
intent for the end is near.
That's right, sure.
He just walked out of the cartoon in the reality, into the real world. Of course, many people would call your program not the real world.
I know.
That's okay.
I don't care about them.
Write it off to millennial madness.
I know. I get that all the time.
Yeah.
Who cares? So, if that was the precursor, then you're suggesting that sometime in 1999, I'm pressing for a timeline here, the kill shot will occur.
Suggesting that is the kill shot, and the kill shot is probably what in Revelation is referred to as one third of the Earth.
All right, next item. We're just going to cover a lot of bases here. A million people have asked me to ask you about the plant pathogen. I mean, here I go winging my way toward Africa, which is where the plant pathogen you suggested would land or has landed, and they would like an update on that. What can you tell us, if anything?
Well, I won't go into the background right now. It's associated with this device that enters the Earth's atmosphere, and we lost track of the device. We lost train of custody with this particular cylinder. The next time we pick it up in technical remote viewing is particulate matter disseminated in the atmosphere over the continent of Africa.
Mm.
When we research this particulate matter, we find that it is what I would call a fungal accelerator, that this is some type of a catalyst. I don't know how broad spectrum it is within within fungi, within that class of organism, plants. But it appears to accelerate the growth of fungi, many different kinds of fungi. And that was in the atmosphere over Africa. Now, that notwithstanding, you are already aware of that you're going to tour Kruger National Park. You'll probably have some of the last pictures of healthy animals because virtually all of the lions in the park are dying of tuberculosis.
That I know.
That they have contracted from other animals that have tuberculosis.
I know.
The entire continent of Africa. Take some pictures of the people, too, because they're facing zero population growth.
That also is in the news.
Yes, that is. But this fungi, the idea of in terms of phytopathology, this is not in the news. It's as if the earth were striking back and needed a little assistance from an outside agency, and it came in the form of this booster shot that kills not mammalian life, but the food that we eat. Because if you look at the world's food crops, they're in trouble right now from fungus.
It is true.
Blight.
It is true. I've been reading the stories. It's just that I guess people hear this, and they, to some degree, a lot of the med cannot handle the information, and so they get angry.
Well, you should see my hate mail.
Really? Really? You get a lot of good hate mail?
Oh, yeah. We'll sit down one day, and we'll see whose stack is higher.
Your critics have nicknamed you Major Head Games, as you were, I'm sure, well aware.
I've got lots of names like that.
Yeah.
You can trade those, too.
Dr. Doom. But,
I was called Dr. Doom at the White House. In a former life.
Yeah, a former life. I guess it is like a former life now, isn't it?
What's long ago?
It's a strange world we live in, Ed.
Remote viewing, the technical remote viewing was designed to be an intelligence collection tool. That's what we used it for. That's its genesis. That's how it evolved. Right now, you can see what we're doing with Amelia Earhart. And I think that the end game has changed for me and for technical remote viewing.
In what way?
In the way that I think that the most important thing that we could do now for mankind, present day and for the future, is that project I'm dedicating to Father Malachi Martin, and that is to identify the specific nature of the mark of the beast, what is called the mark of the beast in the Bible, as well as what is called the beast. Now, that's a long way from looking inside of nuclear weapons design.
Yes, it sure is. But you know, Stan Dale, who's a Christian, was on the other night. And Sean David Morton is a prophet. This fellow's had an unreasonable amount of extremely accurate hits. And Stan said, in essence, and I don't want to get in trouble with Stan here again, but that there would be somebody who would come along and foretell or even announce the identity of the Antichrist.
Stan said that?
Yeah, yeah. And I think the Bible suggest that will be so, and that that person will be some sort of false prophet. You know, I'm no biblical scholar. I just listen to people on both sides of all this. And so if you were to actually name, you would do that. You would, if you determined who it was, you would name the Antichrist.
Yes. No, wait now. The Antichrist, we've already researched. When we target that as in the collective unconscious, which is the arena, we call it the matrix, is our technical term in TRV. That's the arena in which we work. The idea of the Antichrist is a field effect, and it is found in all mankind. It is found in the hearts of all men. It's a field, okay? The idea of the beast is something else that we have not researched. We have looked at the idea of 666 as an idea.
Mm-hmm.
That we do know, and we're confident of, equates to money. Physical money. Now, some people have said that's the mark of the beast. It is not. 666 equates purely to money.
To money.
What the mark of the beast is something that is... At first, we thought it would involve xenotransplantation, the growth of animal parts transplanted in by surgical methods into human beings.
They're doing that now.
Yes, I know. That is what is something perhaps akin to that, because we have done a cursory or a modicum amount of work on the mark of the beast, but we stopped short. Now we have to be sure. We have to be sure of those two things.
All right, Ed, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to shortly take calls. If you have a question for Ed Dames, come on ahead. You can tell what kind of night it is. I guess it's a good way to let it go out on the way to Africa. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Stay right where you are. You haven't heard it all yet.
Stay tuned for more of this encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Of Nevada County broadcasters in our 20th year. Excellent. KNCO News Talk 83.
Sergeant Jack Russell, and this is convicted felon 527844. Time served for breaking and entering. Tell them what you told me.
When I'm scoping for a house to rob, I check it out. If I saw an ADT sign on the lawn, I get the next house.
Our FBI statistics prove it. Home with an ADT security system is 15 times less likely to be broken into than a home without one. So don't take chances with your family's safety. Choose America's number one security company. Choose ADT.
Because a lot of my buddies are still out there.
Right now, install a state-of-the-art ADT security system for as little as $99 and get 50% off any one option. Call 1-800-927-9020. That's
1-800-927-9020. The sixth seal. And I looked, and when he broke the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair. And the whole moon became like blood, and the stars fell to earth, and the sky was split apart like a scroll, and every mountain and island were moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, and every man rich and poor, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the earth. I have a special message from men about male potency and performance. This may seem like we're about to go back to Ed Dames, but there is this. Aren't the problem you, Ed, are discussing about the plant pathogen? It's already occurring in Angola. You can confirm this with the UNDP, whatever that is. United Nations, something or another, I'm sure. I've worked in Angola since 1990, and I can tell you that this unidentified plant pathogen has become an enormous problem with the agricultural community in the last 6 months. Hadn't heard that one before, Ed?
No.
You did you know about this?
No, I haven't been. I have not been following that the phytopathology world.
Well, apparently something is going on in Africa, in Angola. Great.
Well,
all right,
we're being overwhelmed across the board here, and I think, as you already know, the quickening is a very apropos term for what's happening. A lot of things real fast.
Yes. All right. I want to begin to take calls. I think I've run through, unless there's something you want to get on the air that I didn't manage yet to touch on. I tried to sort of fit all the important stuff in the front body of the program here. If there's anything I missed, lay it on us now, because otherwise we'll get a call.
There isn't anything except at some juncture, if I thought it might be interesting for you to know about Project Twinkle in 1952, the green fireballs that have been so prevalent the last couple of weeks.
Oh, you know I want to know about that.
I wanted to tell you about...
Ed, not only all over North America, and by that I mean America and Canada, every place, but now in Australia, New Zealand, I'm getting reports from literally all over the world about these green fireballs. That said, go right ahead.
Well, I faxed you four pages out of the UFO Encyclopedia about Project Twinkle, which was a very interesting project in 1952. Because it was chaired by a Nobel laureate, and Edward Teller later met on the same board to investigate these green fireballs that were whizzing around New Mexico, very similar to what is happening now, and same descriptions. And what's interesting about Project Twinkle is that the phenomenon was recognized as real. And one of the conclusions was that these green fireballs appeared to be under intelligent control, which was a conclusion by a board of Nobel laureates that that is unique in UFO annals. And this appears to be a resurgence of that same phenomenon. My company actually we picked up this investigation in 1992. It was a proprietary contract. I can't discuss the results of our findings, but what we found ourselves at back again in New Mexico in the Chaco Canyon area, monitoring the same phenomenon and a minor scale.
So the original conclusion was that whatever these are, they are under intelligent control.
That is one of the conclusions that was derived from as a result of Project Twinkle in 1952, and that project was interrupted by the Korean War. But I'll tell you what SciTech found without going into the proprietary stuff. This is why we don't do corporate contracts anymore. We stopped in 1994 because the corporate contracts were very interesting, advanced deep space propulsion systems, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't talk about them because our customers own the work.
Sure.
But what I can say about our research in New Mexico on this green fireball phenomenon is this. Those green fireballs are not things. They are actually artifacts of propulsion, I'll say, like a contrail or a sonic boom. What you're seeing is not the thing that produced it. You're just seeing this artifact. It is a real vehicle that is transiting time from one time window to the next. And that green fireball that you see is actually like a contrail or a sonic boom produced when a real vehicle transits your time window, the window of observation of the observer.
Fascinating. Well, I mean, there have been just hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of reports. And unless meteorites and bolides have taken on new characteristics like hovering, then something else is going on here. So I'm perfectly willing to accept your explanation. It's as logical as any I've heard. Let's do it. First time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames from SciTech. Hi.
Hiya, this is Tomas.
I'm Tomas, where are you?
Colorado.
Colorado, okay.
And I got a question as far as dealing with the Mark of the Beast.
Yes.
Your soul and the great deception that's going to deceive, if it were possible, even the elect, and what the sacred name has to do with escaping the loss of your soul.
Okay, well, hold on a sec. Ed, in talking the other night with Stan, one thing he made very clear was that we are on the edge of an event that's about to occur, a gigantic event. Everybody refers to it. But Stan said it's going to be a great deception. His words were a great deception. And there are many who read that from the Bible. Anything to say on that score?
Nothing I think that we're going to be dealing with so much complexity, people will have to make those decisions for themselves. That's going to be tough, of course. And my company's efforts are going to be strictly on identifying the details of the mark of the beast and whoever the beast is, and that should be interesting. We just won't have time and the resources to do anything else. But I think that's enough. To me, that is a good goal.
What would you do with that information, Ed? I mean,
I would first announce it on your show.
You would be naming an individual. Now, you have described the beast really not as an individual, or am I mixed up here?
What we have targeted was the false prophet. But I want to, and when we do, that may be synonymous mm-hmm. in terms of the collective unconscious with what the Bible terms the beast. I don't know yet. We're going to find out. But I think even more importantly is this mark, because you know what it means.
I know what it means. But you know what? If you actually were going to name an individual,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we could do that.
I don't think we could do it either.
I mean, somebody would get killed.
The mark we could do. But I'll have to find another venue. My website, for instance. Sure, it's going to be difficult with it around the libel issue.
Even there, Ed. Even there. But on the other hand, if you were really sure of what you were saying, how could you not tell?
No, of course. And I am full well of doing it.
Boy, that's one big responsibility on your shoulders, and I wouldn't want that. Thank you very much. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Ed Dames, Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi.
I can barely hear you.
Hi. Is that better?
That's better, yes. Where are you?
My name is Violet, and I'm calling from Coos Bay, Oregon.
Okay.
Yes, I have some information that I think you'll find relevant to tonight's topic matter.
Just go right ahead.
Okay. About a month ago, I was listening to a talk show in the evening. It was not a religious program. It was a secular program.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a guest on that night by the name of Tim Cohen, who has written a book called The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. And he comes right out and names him.
Have
you heard about it?
Yes. What I say to it? Prince Charles, give me a break.
Now, wait a minute, Art. You have to remember that they do claim, the royal family, that they have Jewish lineage. And I was watching Queen Elizabeth biography.
Oh, if it's Prince Charles, I'll eat their china. I'm not buying that one for a second. They had a crisis.
May I interject something here?
Prince Charles, yeah.
The real value of technical remote viewing is that anyone that learns this, and it's all done the same way. It's a standardized procedure. All those who learn this produce the same data against the same search term. So that's one of the ways. Well, this is a good cross-check and a good control. That it won't be just SciTech saying who the beast is. It'll be anybody that's trained in remote viewing that working the same target. It'll be a collection of corroborating data that says this is a description of the beast.
I'm sure it will be a chorus of voices.
And it is direct knowledge. There's no red tape. There's no analysis. There's no maybe this, maybe that. It's a description of your target.
Mm-hmm. You know, if the title had been The Antichrist in a Turban or something, I might buy it, but a cup of tea. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Hey, Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Okay, you're not too clear to hear, so...
Okay, I'll cut the phone. Yeah, you guys were talking about who the Antichrist is?
Yes.
Well, here's the way I look at it. I'm the Antichrist. Miguel Angel Vasquez, for the simple reason is this. It's not out of hatred. it's out of love. Because the woman of your dreams, or your wife that you love, if anything were to happen to her because of anything in the Ten Commandments, just to say murder, would you say, why God, why Jesus, or would you say, ante up?
Ante up?
Ante up. The ante up word is this. They said Napoleon was an antichrist. Napoleon might have fell in love and came to the girl's daughter, I mean, came to the father, to her father, and said, I love your daughter, but you cannot marry my daughter because you're lowly private. Well, I'll become ruler of all France just to prove his love. Hitler.
Well, indeed, Ed, you did say, when we were talking about the side switch earlier, that the best transmitter was love, didn't you?
So that one of the highest states, threshold states, was the state of love. Mm. Humans need love. A little anecdotal news bit.
Sure.
That I think is very moving. You remember Colonel Bo Gritz?
Bo Gritz.
Oh, yeah, Bo Gritz.
Bo Gritz, yes. Passed on. He's still with us.
I know. And I did not fight alongside Bo Gritz, but my friends that did, you know, will testify to him as being one of the most courageous men that they knew in the Army. But self-inflicted gunshot wound because, I mean, he put a bullet in his body because he faced the prospect of losing the one he loved.
That's the story, yes.
Because he was still human, and all humans need love, and including the toughest of warriors.
You'll get no argument from me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hi, Ed.
Hi.
This is Sarah from Portland area from 1190 KX.
Yes.
And I was just curious, I have a question about remote viewing. If properly trained, could a blind person remote view?
Yes, if they're taught stage one by someone who can see. Someone who can see has to hold their hand, or another blind person that has been taught has to actually hold their hand and produce certain marks on a paper called ideograms. After that, it's a standardized procedure that they need to be able to produce on the paper. After that, they're on their own, and they can learn the rest without help.
In the normal method. So that's not apparently the normal method that which by a sighted person would learn to remote view.
Hmm. Well, no, a sighted person would have a distinct advantage in being able to mentally process these shapes.
Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, Art. The only advantage that the sighted person has is learning stage one. After that, it's the trained remote viewer, whether blind or sighted, produces the same results. Take it from me.
Well, I remember, Ed, on one of your tapes, I think it was a promo piece, a news team came to your home, and your vice president was doing a remote viewing session. Which,
that was in our office, our corporate office.
That's correct, which was amazing and blew away the reporter. I remember all that. But I remember that your vice president was working with shapes on paper, drawing circles, circulation. We were talking about a helicopter.
Yes, uh-huh.
And so those are shapes. Those and this lady's question, I think, is relevant. How do you impart the concept of shapes to one who has never seen shapes?
What do you mean by shapes? I mean, you mean two-dimensional shapes.
Or even three, but two at least, yes.
Art, it isn't a problem. That blind people have no problem with that.
Well, I can understand that a blind person, a person who has never been sighted, could take their finger and make a circle and understand the concept of a circle as we could look at a piece of paper and see a circle. They could draw, you could take their hand and you could make a circle and they would then understand a circle.
For instance, there's a thing called raised line drawing that
yes.
A lot of blind students use to learn math, geometry, and such things.
Precisely.
And that's exactly how I was taught. For instance, I'm blind. I was born blind. And I've always been able to really to visualize things fairly well, architecturally, for instance, put together houses and rooms and houses and how they'd fit together. And so I thought that if a blind person could be taught the right techniques, they could remote view.
Yeah, we've run into this problem before numerous times, and it's only stage one, the initial stage, which it's our basic module is one training module. It's a video module, but the only part that has to really be taught to blind people is that first stage of a number of stages.
So they can accurately report, like, visual descriptions of
that's
certain
correct.
Situations,
no problem
colors, and various things that they wouldn't understand?
That's right.
There you are.
Wow.
The answer
right.
is yes. All right.
Thank you. All right.
Right. Thank you very much. Ed, hold on. We're at the top of the hour. My guest is SciTech's Major Ed Dames. If you have questions for him, that's where we're going to be for the remainder of the time. I just can't resist that. On the phone with Major Ed Dames. Been quite a night, huh? You get the feeling the chain is about to break.
Coast to Coast AM continues with Art Bell.
The AMT Model 2 Night Vision Spotting Scope is night vision. Night vision is a remarkable tool. In fact, astronomers who use optic telescopes, I had the pleasure to interview one recently, and he said there are no big telescopes that don't use night vision. You know why? I'll tell you why. You'll notice right away why. When you go outside and you look up at the sky, normally, with your eyes, and you get a little pollution, perhaps, and you see two or three stars. You don't have the kind of sky I have here in the desert. You take night vision, and you look at the same sky, and it's an oh-my-God kind of moment. The stars are on top of stars. That's how much difference night vision makes. And, of course, it turns earthly terrain from night into day, so you can see creatures on two legs or four legs. I got it for security, but I quickly found out night vision is just plain old-fashioned fun. There's a lot of difference, by the way, in night vision companies. Beware. Plastic lenses, lousy optics, flawed tubes. The world is full of bad deals. And we sorted through to find the best for you. The AMT Model 2 All Glass Quality Optics, $349.95. Price includes shipping and handling. How can you resist? Call beginning at 7:30 in the morning, 1-800-522-8863. 1-800-522-8863. Absolutely Fresh Flowers is a flower company in Southern California. Really, they are a flower.
The 24-hour order line is 1-888-878-0333. And there are live operators on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay.
At 1-888-234-2500.
Good enough. All right, here they come again. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames and Art Bell. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Where are you, sir?
I'm in Austin, Texas, on KJFK.
All right.
I was wondering if Ed happens to know whether Father Martin was familiar or used the remote viewing technique.
we'll go ahead and ask Ed.
No, he. In fact, the only education that he's ever had in remote viewing is on the Art Bell Show. Father Martin was concerned a couple of years ago that perhaps remote viewing might be a negative thing mixed in with the occult. And
sure.
I called Art Bell and asked to go toe-to-toe with Malachi Martin on this issue.
And he agreed.
Yes. So we did that on the Art Bell show.
It was a remarkable program. Absolutely remarkable. And I expected a big clash, and that big clash did not occur.
Essentially, what I told Father Martin was that one does not lose one's spirituality when you remote view. You still have that same quality when you remote view, and it doesn't change you in that regard. Not giving up anything when you remote view.
Right, exactly. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames and Art Bell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, where are you?
This is Gary calling from Sacramento area, California.
Okay, Gary. You know we're on KFBK there now, too.
Oh, is that right? No, I didn't know that.
Yep. Surprise, surprise.
All right. Okay, yes, I have a question for the Major.
Shoot.
Okay, I consider my, in terms of biblical prophecy, there's, certain interpretations that are, pretty commonly held, I'd say, by spirit-filled believers, Pentecostals, Charismatics. The first seal represents, false covenant entered into between the beast and Israel, giving a false sense of security. Second seal being the wars and engulf the earth. By this time, we're well into the Great Tribulation. Third seal is the famines resulting from these wars. Fourth seal are the deaths resulting from these wars and famines. Fifth seal, the martyrdom of the saints, persecution of the saints. And we get the sixth seal, yes, you're right, cataclysmic events that's disrupting all human institutions, governments. There's a parallel verse in
I take it, caller. Your question is, what about the first five seals?
Right. How do we jump over the first five seals? We'd have to be well into the Great Tribulation to be up to the opening of the sixth seal.
All right.
And it appears we have not entered.
Hold on a moment.
Sure.
Listen for your answer.
Okay.
Ed.
Thank you.
The way that I understand that is that, and keep in mind that I'm matching the raw remote viewing data to biblical scripture, and the match is so close that looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. So that all of the seals are open, and they're all in the same arena. For instance, the idea of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That it isn't just that one comes and goes, and then the next horseman comes and goes. They each enter this world arena at separate times and operate independent of each other. And so the seals, as they're broken, allegorically, metaphorically speaking, they're broken, and they each begin to operate. And one does not complete its events prior to the next one starting.
All right, so it's not a precisely sequential thing.
There's an overlap. That's correct.
All right, that's your answer, caller. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi.
I'm Barbara from Dallas.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Art. How Ed?
Hi.
Hi, I mean, I just wanted to tell you, I'm a Roman Catholic, and I don't know if you've ever heard about Garibaldi, Spain, the apparitions there.
I have, yes.
You have?
Yes.
Well, because the third secret wasn't revealed by the Vatican, by the Pope, our Blessed Mother appeared between 1961 and 1965 at Garibaldi, Spain, telling about the chastisement. And there were four young girls, and the warning, I don't know if it was Stan or whoever was talking about heaven coming to earth. I think that's what, and Father Malachi Martin said something about there will be a sign in the sky.
Yes.
Well, the warning will be, it will be very fearful. She says it's 1,000 times worse than earthquakes. It will be like fire. It will not burn our flesh, but we will feel it bodily and interiorly. It is a thing from heaven, and people in every part of the world will suffer from it. None of us will escape this. And it's going to be where we will see, it's an enlightenment from God, where we will see our souls as God sees them. And that will be the time for the good to become, prepare themselves, and for the evil people, or those that are in sin, to amend their lives. The warning will come before the chastisements are, from what I understand. The warning, then the exile of the Pope, and then everything will break loose then. But I understand that the Antichrist will only reign about 3.5 years, which tells you that in Revelations. I think it's something between 1,100 to 1,200 days, which coincides with 3.5 hours that our Lord hung on the cross.
All right. Does this culminate in a question, or are you just sort of...
Well, I was just going to... I will send this to you, both of you. I know...
Okay, you're on cellular, and you're breaking up.
Okay.
That's better.
I wanted to ask one more thing about the... did you ever hear about the mark of the beast being a chip?
Oh, yes, everybody's heard about that. Thank you. That the mark of the beast will be a chip implanted into us against our will, or that we will be...
Now, keep in mind, Art, that no one really knows, there's no one out there that really knows specifically what it is. And that is why the technical remote viewing is so important, because it's specific. And it was designed to be an intelligence collection tool to be used against technologies. And that is either biological or physical technologies, and we I'm sure we can do this. We'll get started as soon as we can, and I'll keep you posted.
Boy, that'll be some result.
It will be very interesting.
Indeed. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Deems. Hi. Hello?
Yeah, this is Kay.
Kay, hello. You're going to have to yell at us. I can barely hear you. Where are you, Kay?
In Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
Is that better?
That's better.
Great. Okay, my question is, I'd like to know how you prepare for specifically the kill shot. What does he suggest for that?
This is a very good question, actually. How does one prepare for something called the kill shot, Ed?
From our research, it appears that we need that the direct effects. I'm not sure if anyone can prepare oneself for that, but the consequences thereof. It looks like you need to be underground and have a good supply of water and some food. Other than that, there's nothing I can suggest. I know what that's what I'm doing. I'm going to try to be near my hole. In as much of the spring of 99 as possible, and near fresh water, and that's about it.
How long will you stay there?
I have no idea.
No idea. You have a way of calculating it, though, to where you know it's safe?
Ballpark.
When to come out?
Just, no. I think what we're dealing with is heat, the effects of heat. Getting away from heat and high winds. Mm-hmm. And that'll be pretty easy to do. Get close to the opening of a hole or to the top of the ground level, and you'll be able to judge the wind speed and heat pretty easily.
And you can come out time to time, but basically you will live in there, in the hole.
I think the effects will not last more than 2 weeks. I mean, the immediate effects. Once one comes back out, I don't know what we're coming back out to, but that's what we've got so far.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
The fungus that you have, that you were talking about, is this the same thing that they're finding in the vineyards in California?
All that we know is that this particulate that was disseminated in the atmosphere over Africa and that appears to be spreading is an accelerator for a number of fungi, for different blights. I don't know how many different species of blights, but that's what it does. It's a catalyst. It makes them grow faster.
I see.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call.
Other people. Not here. The site is identified, and we haven't initiated anything yet. only because we've been busy with other things like Amelia Earhart and real-world projects. This Project Starman is mine. It belongs to me. It's not of interest to SciTech. It's not in the best interest of my corporation. It is something that that I have funded personally, and it is a personal interest to me. I talk about it because I think it's interesting, obviously it has for me now. The milestones, when it happens, that's how technical remote viewing can come in and look at the details that are harbingers, that describe the harbingers of each one of those things. And right now, what we're saying is that we're just about ready for what in Revelations is termed the sixth seal. And there's all kinds of sources of information, and the exegesis of the Revelations is just about the same across the Christian community. So just follow on down, and you'll know what's coming next. Where we are, though, navigationally in the summer, it's happening now. We in the United States have been protected by all these firewalls. The rest of the world doesn't have that protection. We had a strong economy. We even have a surplus. But that's coming down real quick. Watch the credit and watch the jobs in this country evaporate virtually overnight.
Okay. And that's the final word on that. And the time frame, the actual time frame, we're into it now. Obviously, you can see worldwide what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But does it carry on to 99 and New Year's, or does a big event this spring, this one, the coronal massive discharge or whatever is going to happen, do we actually get to the collapse, or does that precede the actual melting down of all the
Let me put it this way. Many people have asked SciTech about Y2K, about the year 2000 event, and our response is that it's made moot by events in 1999, that we never get to Y2K.
Oh, wow. Right. I'm going to jump back into the chat room. It's been nice talking to you in real life.
I will probably jump into
I'm going to be firing off a letter, and I tell you, I've got your tapes. I've got all the modules. I'm just getting into it, and it's just absolutely fascinating.
Well, you need to be in the TRV classroom, because that's where I teach, on the Internet in the classroom. And you'll learn advanced skills there.
100%.
All right, caller?
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Good evening, Mr. Dames. Good evening, Art.
Hi.
I had two questions, basically. One question.
Part. And up here into Canada.
Right.
But the place that other people get is in Polynesia.
Hmm.
So that's two separate sides of the Earth. Now,
right.
It's being worked out in the collective unconscious some way. This unitary mind is a very powerful thing, and it can sort and sift a lot of details and end up with a direct answer, just like a computer does. Very, very interesting parallels to computers. And I go with the answer without trying to crunch through all of the details. Think of a computer's problem trying to predict the weather. It's still going to be a while before we can link together, even with all the Cray 5s and banks of supercomputers that Los Alamos National Lab has. They still can't predict weather accurately.
Right.
But if you use technical remote viewing, this grand mind, this universal mind crunches all those problems for you and spits out the right answer if you have the skill. Because technical remote viewing is a skill to download the answers.
Right. Art, well, thank you, Mr. Dames. Art, this is Mike in San Francisco in KSFO country.
Yes, Mike.
And my second question was for you. Who's the guy that does your intros with the really deep voice?
He is Ross Mitchell, who does the morning program on KOH in Reno, Nevada.
Have you ever had him as a guest?
As a matter of fact, no, but it's a grand idea.
And he would make a great guest because, I mean, he's obviously followed your show for numerous years now.
Well, if Charlton Heston ever leaves us, I figure Ross is the next voice of God.
Definitely. All right. Thanks, Art.
Right. Thank you. And I always sort of wondered about the advisability of always having my own voice follow Ross's. It's an old thing in show business about
never, never, never following a dog or a child act. And not that he's either one of those, but he's just got a voice that you shouldn't follow. But what the hell? Ed, we are out of time. Way out of time.
In fact, you're probably closer to the truth than you think.
I know. We will, I trust, I hope, have enough time to do another program. After all, there's a lot of things hanging. There always are. So, if they give us enough time, Ed, we'll do another one.
Enjoy your trip to Africa.
Thanks, Ed. You take care, my friend.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Good night.
What are you searching for?
What would make you happy?
Tough question, huh?
Well, there's this place. It's called eBay. That's EBAY.com.
That's right. It's on the Internet. eBay is where millions of people come looking for things to buy and sell.
And they're not just searching. They're actually finding. You see, there's more out there in cyberspace than just a lot of fascinating but slightly useless information. There's some pretty cool stuff.
Lionel trains, an old Rolex watch,
and at eBay, you can use some.
So, away I go. You've got quite a week of very, very good refeeds ahead of you. And I'll be talking with you in about a week. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Good night.